So it's Tuesday. It's just past one. It's the day before Thanksgiving. It must be Tuesdays with Dave. I'm sure everybody's running around and getting their ingredients for their pies, getting ready to stuff their turkeys, getting their cranberry sauce ready, which is comes from right here in Cape Cod, by the way, most of the cranberries in the world. And there's a lot to be thankful for this time of year. Thankful for family, thankful for friends, thankful for the abundance that you live in, because there are certainly people out there living in scarcity. Thankful for the ability to have the opportunity to change your world, which a lot of the world doesn't have. We have that right here in the great U.S. of A. So there is a lot to be thankful for. So two things on this call. Number one, in order to call in, you can press star zero. Star zero will get you into the queue to ask any questions that you would like. They could be real estate. They could be life. I've got a lot of different experience, life experiences, real estate experiences. But I'm going to require you to tell me what you're thankful for or what's your favorite holiday dessert, what's your favorite Thanksgiving dessert. So before we get into that, let's take a look at what's going on in our world, the Ari Mentor world. First of all, I want to welcome the new Mentor Church students from Washington, D.C. Welcome. Also, Indianapolis, New York. I haven't been on the call for about 2 weeks, so I want to welcome you as well. You're definitely in the right place. Just follow the system. Listen to your coach. Go into the online learning center and do a little bit every day, and you'll do well. We just recently had the business building with me for 2 days in Boston, and we went to the Harvard Club. That was a lot of fun. Biggest group so far. I had about 70 people there. Harvard Club was a little bit overwhelmed, but it was good. And then we had sponsorship behind that, and my understanding wasn't there. It was my understanding that that went very, very well as well. Jeannie and Nissan hosted there. And then something else just happened as well. I can't remember what it was. Jeff did an immersion event. Coming up, Commercial Training Academy, December 1st to 3rd. Ooh, that is a good class. That's going to be in L.A. The New York Immersion is December 1st through the 3rd in Secaucus. And then the Indianapolis Immersion is going to be from December 8th to the 10th in Indianapolis, which I own a property up in Anderson, but that's not on the list of tour. It's too far up. All right, I want to give a high five to Ken Epps from Chandler, Arizona, and his partner, Trisha Coffee. Do you think she drinks a lot of coffee? Is that why she got that last name? They recently acquired a 29-unit in Arizona. Purchase price was $1.4 million, located near Arizona. 29 units consisting of 28 apartments and a 3,700-square-foot house. Off-market market listing, which they got from Development Guru Realty. And the value plays are a light renovation, raise the rents, install more laundry machines, and increase the NOI. So high five to Ken and Trisha. Right on. All right, so let's get right into it. I'm going to answer a couple email questions while you queue up. Star Zero will queue you up, get you into the queue. I'm going to answer one first. This is the day before the 2 days before the holiday, so it's usually a little bit light on volume. So I'm going to save some of the questions for the downtime. But John Lindstrom from New York writes in. He says, I'm new to the program. I have a property that could be used in a 1031 exchange. When interviewing realtors for deals, do I mention this in our initial conversations? No. Because a 1031 exchange is going to limit your negotiating abilities. Actually, it has you negotiate from weakness because they know that you are on a timeline. So even if you tell the broker, about this timeline, I wouldn't do it until you go into contract, because the broker could tell the other party that you're on this timeline. So that's all. It's just you'd be negotiating from weakness when they know that you're on a 1031 exchange. All right, so let's open up the lines and see who is calling in today. So, operator, who is calling in today? Who's number one?
Okay, our first question comes from Ryan. Ryan, please go ahead.
Hey, Dave. Good to meet you. We came out of the Indianapolis class. How are you doing today?
Excellent. Good. How's it going?
Not too bad. My question for you was that, especially when starting out, if a real estate broker wants a credibility packet or our lenders for the acquisition cost, what do we do if our private money hasn't done real estate before, or we don't actually have any verified lenders yet.
Are they asking you where you're getting the funding?
Yes, and more of a credibility packet behind that person that's doing the funding or the people.
It's an unusual question that usually comes up when you've asked the wrong questions or used the wrong terminology when you're interviewing a broker. There is a resource in the Online Learning Center. It's an audio from Coach Don Goff, and it talks about when they ask you how to have them not ask you for proof of funds, because that's basically what they're asking you. So I would refer you to that audio and just listen to it. But in reality, they ask you for proof of funds or some sort of a packet like this when you haven't presented yourself properly. So that's why you know, it's always good to practice in another area before you start going right after the area that you want to do business in.
Okay.
And then so how do you get around that? You would have to get a sponsor and use them. If you don't have anybody that or anything, then you know you can try saying that you represent a group of investors, you're the lead guy, and once you get a deal that makes sense, you'd be happy to provide them with all the information, all the back-end information that they need. And that could buy you some time, or they could say, well, I really need something now before I'm going to send you anything, you know? So, and if you get to the point where you're not going to do anything unless you give them some info, then just go on to the next broker.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, I must admit, it is a beautiful day here in Boston, Massachusetts. It must be about 50 degrees. The sun is shining. Everybody's out there in their shorts and T-shirts. It is just great. All right, who's next on the Wisecracker line?
At the moment, we have no callers with questions.
Okay, that's what I thought. So press star zero. And you will get on there. It's usually light right before a major holiday. Okay, next one comes from Dwayne Green from New York. He says, I'm not able to make the call today, you and a lot of other people, but I have two questions. I'm reading Multifamily Millions now, and in the section about the assignment process, it states that when you put in an offer, you should put your entity name, most like an LLC, as the buyer of the property. At what point when making the offer do you set up the LLC? You set up the LLC after your due diligence is done. You should set up an ownership entity. Like, for instance, my ownership entity is the Lindahl Group. So I'll put a property under contract with the Lindahl Group. I will do my due diligence. When the due diligence checks out, then I will set up the LLC that's going to hold title to the property. Question number two from Dwayne. He says, I want to begin working on a direct mail campaign in the market where I want to target. When I go to the assessor's office for a list of owners, what specifically do I ask for, and will they need any credentials? They don't need credentials, but what you specifically ask for is in your boot camp manual. And you're basically asking for all the owners of multifamily properties, 2 to 4s and 5-plus units. And you want their names, the name of the property, the address of the property, and the address of the name of the property, the address of the property, and the address of the owner. Those are the things you want. But go in your bookkeeping menu. It's all spelled out right there. And the actual letter that you give to the assessor's office is right there as well. All right. Operator, anybody in the queue?
Yes. Up next, we have Jose. Jose, please go ahead.
David, how's it going?
What's up, Jose?
Hey, things are good. Sunny California. I'm jealous in Boston. Hopefully I get to go out there again. It was last time I saw you, I was at the Elevate class. So it was probably one of the best classes I've taken in a very long time. And
Elevate's good.
It's
good.
Super good. It's very good. And it's kind of more than what I thought, to be honest with you. So that's kind of cool.
Hey, you know, I'm a really deep person. I'm not shallow.
I could tell. I figured it out. I learned a lot from you. And actually, I have a question for you, and I think I've asked you, and I know you read books. I read a lot of books, too. I wanted to know, what are you reading right now? And you could share, because I always read books, and I get hungry for other books, and I've been reading a lot of your books, and they've been really great. So I want to know what else you're reading right now.
book I'm reading right now is the 12-week year, and that's how to set and execute goals within a 12-week period and get them all done. And usually it's more than people get done in a year. So that's the one I got. The one I got up on deck. The one I got up on deck is "Discipline Equals Freedom" by Jocko Willink, W-I-L-L-I-N-K.
Discipline equals freedom.
Yep, discipline equals freedom. And I have the whole company right now going through the book, "The Metronome Effect."
The what?
The Metronome Effect. That's a good book.
Okay.
I saw the author do a presentation. I thought, wow, that's great stuff. So I went out and bought her book.
Nice.
So that's what I'm doing. That's what
okay.
I'm reading.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I actually have the 12-week year, and I haven't started it yet. I just finished reading the book Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion, and that was a good book.
Yeah, that's a really good book.
Yeah, that's a very good book. Another thing I wanted to ask you, thankful is that of joining the RE Mentor. I think, I take a lot of these paid classes that just kind of teaches me to grow, but this has been one of the best ones. You guys are so family sort of oriented, very close. So I think I like that. I wanted to share that to you that I'm very thankful that you guys are helping me out and helping out my family. My construction crews are out there. We are buying property. We're making money. And it's making an effect all around. And so I wanted to tell you that and thank you for that. And I hope to see you again. And I'm really excited.
When you come back out.
I'm actually going to the Miami event, so I'll see you out there.
Oh, all right. Great. I'll see you out there.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what time I'm getting in on the fourth. All right. Excellent.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Dave. I'll see you in December, okay?
All right. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. See you, Jose. Okay. Who's next?
Believe Ryan had another question. Ryan, please go ahead.
Hey, Dave. Since it's a light day, I figured I'd ask you an opinion question.
You forgot.
So we were in single family investments for several years, and I built up my contacts there. How much do you utilize LinkedIn? Is it something that I should continue to work on building connections through, or should I use other avenues?
I don't really use LinkedIn. And actually, my LinkedIn page probably has about 2,000 people that are trying to get me to link in with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not – I don't have time. You know, it's like another email. I've got so many emails in my emails that I've got to talk about on a regular basis – I mean, to respond to on a regular basis that LinkedIn and Facebook – I mean, I've got a personal Facebook, but, you know, I don't really interact that much. It's just more stuff that, you know, I'm so busy creating things and growing and trying to do deals, and when I have to sit down and actually, you know, respond to emails and, you know, people trying to request stuff from LinkedIn and all that, it just doesn't. I don't do it. So I haven't used it. I haven't used LinkedIn at all.
Okay.
But Facebook, you know, for the longest time I had two friends on Facebook. It was my mother and my sister, and now I'm up to like 75 friends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So. That's where we're at. Okay. But you know, the great thing about Facebook is you get invited to a lot of parties. That's what I use Facebook. So what are you thankful for,
thank you.
Or what's your favorite dessert?
My favorite dessert? I'm not a big dessert person, but I'm definitely thankful to be a part of this group. Like I said, we joined in Indianapolis, and we're going to see you at the Indianapolis Immersion this 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Yeah, it's going to be good. My brother Jeff teaches that, actually, and I'm going to take you.
Okay.
On a tour of Jeff Kissy's property out there, and
okay.
That's just one of the properties we're going to take a look at. But yeah, it's going to be good. That's a really good event. We get the greatest testimonials from that event. Everybody loves my brother. He starts off a little slow, but then before you know it, like you just love the guy. I don't know what he's got some sort of charisma going on there.
Well, we definitely look forward to it.
All right, good. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too, Dave.
Thanks. Okay, who's next?
There appears to be no further questions at the moment.
All right, press star zero. Perfect time to get some personal coaching here with a few people online. Feel free to, you know, come. I forgot the gentleman that just signed off, but feel free to come back on. Jose, you got any questions, feel free to come back on. Ann Ingham says, what does it mean to be offered a co-op for sales purposes? There's a 48 unit that is owned by a co-op. I'm not very familiar with the co-op process. She's from Colorado. So, no, I can't help you with that one. I'm just not familiar with that process. If anybody knows about it out there, go right ahead. I thought only co-ops were only in New York City, and from what I understood, you need permission from a board to buy or sell. So if an entire building is being sold by a co-op, I haven't heard of that one. So I'll defer to the group on that. Mike Andrews from San Diego writes in, is it a good idea to stray from the Holy Trinity if you know that the investors will be getting more on the back end? Well, possibly, but I'll tell you what. With the farther you stray from that Holy Trinity, the harder it is to get investors in because they're typically looking for a minimum cash-on-cash return going into the deal. And when that, the farther off that gets delayed, then the harder it is to get investors. So that's the difficulty that you will get from not giving the cash-on-cash return end of the Holy Trinity. The other thing, is too, is if you're relying on a value add and it's one of your, you know, first one or two deals, you got to really be careful because there's a lot that you don't know. I mean, we teach as much as we can. We've got over 700 hours in that learning center. But until you go out there and you start doing deals, you know, you'll have a very solid foundation. But until you start doing deals and really seeing things and experiencing things, that's when you realize, you know, you don't know what you don't know and the assumptions that you make, you know, you'll do them differently another time. So if you're going into one of your first deals with that type of a structure where they're going to get less at the beginning but more in the back, you got to make sure that you can execute on that back end, or otherwise you're just going to have some people that aren't happy. So be considering that, or at least partner with somebody that's been to the rodeo, as they say. All right, I'm going to check the queue before I answer another question. Anybody in the queue?
Up next, we have Chris. Chris, please state your question.
Hey, Dave.
What's up, Chris?
I wanted to say I'm thankful for my – all right, I'm doing good. Just signed up in D.C., went to the D.C. event. Steve Clemens was outstanding.
Yeah, he's good.
Got to connect with Jeannie and Todd. Pretty good people.
Yep.
Boss lady.
Tammy.
So thankful my sister, what? Tammy, excuse me. All these names thrown at me.
Yeah.
So I like pecan pie. That's my dessert for Thanksgiving.
I got a pecan pie, a chocolate pecan pie the other day at Whole Foods and I froze it. So I'm going to take it out.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yep. My question is, I'm a veteran, and I wanted to know, is there any veteran associations? You talk about joining the Rotary Club, join your REITs, your meetup groups. Is there any other, like, associations someone of my stature could join?
Honestly, I'm not sure because I'm not a vet. What about the
– Or could you just go over some of the associations?
That you'd want to join for networking. So that would be the Rotary, the Chamber of Commerce, the American Legion of Your Vets, Business Networking International, the Citrus Club, all kinds of, you know, on meetup.com. Go to meetup and just find people, just find groups that would potentially have affluent people there, like wine tasting groups or I don't know, interior decoration, groups like that. They'll have high-end people.
Okay.
And that's how you get in. If you like to play sports, you know, sports groups. Yeah, that, you know what's so great about Meetup is you can go and you can practice your presentation over and over again because you can go to so many meetups. It's good.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome. Welcome aboard. Okay, who's next?
Up next, we have Steven. Steven, please go ahead.
Okay. Hello, Dave. How are you?
What's up, Steve?
Oh, not much. My wife and I just attended the immersion training out here in San Francisco with Jeff.
What'd you think?
That was fabulous. We loved it. Couldn't get enough.
Yeah. He puts on a good good event, good teaching event.
He does, and we are overwhelmed, I can say that, a lot of information coming at us.
Yep. That's okay. Just slow down, start to put it into practice, and then it will all start making a lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, it makes more sense now as opposed to the first event that we attended. But my question is, I'm building my website, and is there anything that I could use, piggyback off your website for reference or for credibility or anything?
Not for credibility. You can say that we're advisors with you, but let me see. Yeah, I mean, that's how you'd use the credibility. Say that, you know, we're on your team of advisors. I'm trying to find. I'm going online to see if I get a website still up, and if it is, I'll send you to it so you can take Kelly. You can go to confidentialinvestments.com.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, the pictures on the sides aren't popping up. When I'm opening it right now, there's a few. Oh, the Adobe Flash isn't on. Seems to be a few things on the side missing. But if you go to confidentialinvestors.com, what we our chief goal here is to get people to click in to become a member. Okay, so they don't get to see any properties, they don't get to see any offers. And if you look on the left-hand side, what it is the accredited investor questionnaire. And when they press it, fill it out, it automatically goes to my email or Jeannie's email, and then we see that somebody's interested, and we take a look at their application, and then we give them a call and start the conversation. That's really what you want to do with the website. Now, we could have, and I think this is under reconstruction here, because the other things that we have up here is who we are, about us, you know, and the types of deals that we do. So there's a few things in the header of that, for some reason, that aren't on there right now. But the one thing you do not want to do is have an offer on there, because that would be a general.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good information, and I do appreciate that, and I know that I'm going to have many, many, many more questions as I go along.
Well, we're not going anywhere.
I know. Hey, I'm right here with you. We're part of the family now.
Right on. Absolutely.
All right. We'll hopefully see you in Boston soon, as soon as we can.
Yep. Come up and visit. Give me some advance warning, and we'll have lunch.
Sounds good. Thank you much. You have a nice day and happy holidays. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Oh, wait, you didn't tell me what you were thankful for or what your favorite dessert is.
You know, I'm thankful that we have this opportunity to be mentored, which is what we really needed, to be mentored by a group that is founded in sound practice. So thank you. My favorite dessert would be, I love cheesecake, pumpkin pie and cheesecake.
Yeah, pumpkin pie, I think, is my favorite Thanksgiving dessert. Yep. And there's a place that makes it really well. I don't even have to make it myself. And I should, but I don't. And I like it covered with whipped cream.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Good. All right, well, enjoy your holiday.
Okay, hey, thank you much, and we appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, who's next?
Up next, we have Marie. Marie, please go ahead.
Hi, Dave. It's Marie from Acton, Mass. How are you?
Hey, Marie. What's going on out there?
Well, it's a beautiful day here in Massachusetts, as you know.
No.
So what I am thankful for is to have landed in this good old U.S. of A. in this lifetime, because of all the opportunities that we have and to learn and to grow and to do well. My favorite dessert is pumpkin pie. And I wanted to just say that I went to the sponsorship event this weekend, and it was just mind-blowing. It was wonderful.
Excellent.
Yeah, I met a lot of wonderful people, great contacts, and the nuggets that all of the sponsors shared in terms of their individual practices and, you know, who they were and how they got started and how successful they are now was just priceless. So I have been analyzing day and night since I got back from the meeting.
That's great. And, you keep doing that and putting in offers, and before you know it, you'll be using one of those sponsors for your one of your deals.
Yeah. And they're great people. Yeah, it was a great teaching event. So thank you.
You're welcome. If you do that consistently in a few years, you will be up on that stage as a sponsor.
Yeah.
Started with practically nothing.
Yes, I will.
And the majority of them needed sponsors as well. And they went through the program and they started buying deals. And first they didn't need a sponsor anymore. And then they all became wealthy and got some good amount of net worth. And now they can sponsor other people. It's a great thing. You know, when that event first was thought about, because, you know, we were thinking about how we could serve the students better. And Jeannie said, you know, you're always teaching them how to buy big properties, but yet, you know, a lot of people are just starting out and they don't qualify because of the bank rules. She said, you know, if you did something where you could provide sponsors, then that would really help out. I thought, holy crap. And I thought, so at first I thought, well, where did I get sponsors? This was just 2 years ago. And I thought, well,
Based
all the people, you know, we've been teaching now for 14 years, all the people that are doing really well just gave a call and say, hey, you know, who wants to do more deals, basically. They compete to be a sponsor at that event.
Wow. And Jeannie is amazing. What can you say about Jeannie?
She's awesome.
Yes. Unbelievable. The Energizer Bunny.
Yeah. Yeah. So
well, have a good Thanksgiving.
Question. Oh, I will. You too.
I don't have a question. I just wanted to say what an awesome time I had there at the sponsorship event. It was just wonderful.
Are you doing any cooking on Thursday?
Just potatoes and probably green beans almondine. That's about it.
That's pretty good. That's
my daughter-in-law and her mother are going to take care of it, and that's fine with me.
Yeah. I put the turkey in the oven in the morning. I go out and do a road race. I come back, and it's time to take the turkey out, and then I go to the football game, and I come back, and all the food's in the house. My mother comes, and I fill the house with food. It's great.
I can eat it, though. I can eat it. I do a really good job at that.
Yeah, I'm good at that, too. My mother makes an unbelievable lobster corn chowder that's been a
– Oh, wow.
So we have that first.
Delicious.
Everybody gets full on that. Yep, and then we go about 3 hours later, we'll eat the turkey. Good time.
Yummy.
All right.
Well, have a good one.
You have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. All right, who's next? Who's coming on? I'll answer a question from, as we get the next caller, from Andrea Lane from Miami. She says, how do I approach a whale about my business if I've never done a deal before? I want them to take me seriously. Well, you've got to talk about your education, and you've got to talk about you got to answer the question that's in their mind is, you know, will this person, does this person have the ability to give me my money back? So you talk about your education, you talk about the team that you've built, and those are the two most important things. And, how, and thirdly, how, what type of deals you look for and how you're going to do that deal, how you're going to execute on it. That's how you do it. And some will, some won't. So what? Go to the next one. It's a numbers game. But a lot of people start out with nothing, you know, or never done a deal before, and then they, you know, do very well. So, okay, who's next?
Next on the line, we have Freddie. Freddie, please state your question.
Hey, Dave, how are you? This is Freddie from Union City, New Jersey.
Freddie, what's going on down there in New Jersey?
Hello? Yeah, no, nothing much, just waiting for the holidays. Waiting for the holidays to come. Dave, I have a question. Last boot camp that I went was in Massachusetts with Jeannie, was the managing the manager, and she mentioned something interesting that that is not always needed a securities attorney to put a deal together, that if you have one or two or a few group of investors, a small group of investors, you can do it like privately instead of going with securities, an exchange attorney. And she also mentioned that you can
Wait, can you hear me?
What?
All right. You misunderstood her. You can do that with one investor, but as soon as you get to two or more investors, you cannot do that. You need to go through a an SEC attorney. Because the definition, because
I'm just one investor.
Security. And the definition of a security is two or more investors that are in your deal that don't make management decisions. And if you set up your LLC the way we teach, they will not be they will not have the authority to make management decisions. Whether or not you include them, which you should, is a different story. But through your LLC, they won't have the authority. So therefore, you have created security after two people. So one person, you can do it, you know, kind of privately, but two people or more, it's security. Okay,
perfect. The second thing that I learned there is that, I mean, that when you have a small deal, you can have a different split, not the 30-70 that usually is suggested, but you can go up to 50-50. Is it right?
Yeah. Yeah. We don't suggest 75-25. We say that's the minimum. I mean, you would like to get to...
That's the minimum. Okay.
I can give you an idea of the 40 or so deals that we've done. And it's typically, like, our minimum now is a 60-40. We won't go down to 75-25. So the majority of our deals are 60-40, probably 60% or so. And then we have about 20%, 25% are 50-50. And then the rest in the middle are a mix of whatever, you know, we could make sense for the investors and us. So that's how it will play out. So when you first start out, you'll be doing a lot of 75-25s, but whenever you can hit a 50-50 or anything in between, you do it. You know, let the numbers construct a deal.
Okay. All right. One last question. What do you think about a builder's bailout? Just to take over somebody that is building a multifamily and it fails. Yeah, builder's bailout.
Have you done that before?
Not really.
Dan, I don't like it. I don't like it for you if you haven't done it before because, again, there's a lot that you don't know. And certainly the rules that we apply to existing multifamily properties and value add are completely different from taking over a builder that couldn't complete the construction on a project. So, I mean, I would if I was considering doing that, I would have somebody on my team that has experience doing that, experience in construction. And not only just in construction, but there's a, you know, when you're taking over in mid project, there's a lot of things that come into play. You know, the permits were pulled by somebody else. You know, you got to check with all the inspectors to find out where they are. Are there, you know, are there any existing violations? There's a lot going on there when you're taking it over something that's already been started.
Okay, perfect. Appreciate the advice. And about the dessert, rice pudding.
Oh, yeah, you like rice pudding? Do you have it with or without whipped cream?
Yeah. Without.
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 I really like whipped cream. I like making it from scratch.
Wow. Unhealthy. but tasty, yeah.
For now. That's okay.
Okay, Dave, thanks so much. Happy holidays.
All right, happy Thanksgiving. All right, who's next? Who's next on this day before Thanksgiving? I think there's a turkey loose inside of my office. There it goes. Let's take it off out the door.
Next on the line, we have Kenneth. Kenneth, please state your question.
Ken? I think Ken's lost in cyberspace. Operator?
Kenneth, if your line is muted, please unmute your line.
Ken, you there?
Hi, Dave. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. You know why? I was just at one of my favorite bakeries, White's Pastry Shop. And, oh, damn, I just realized I left it in the kitchen. And I got myself they call it a mashed potato cupcake. And the mashed potato cupcake has whipped cream frosting, vanilla cake, and caramel in the middle. So,
hey, now I know why. Now I know why you run all those. Well, now I know why you run all those long distance races to burn off those calories.
I run so I can eat more cake. That's the only reason I run.
That's right. That's it. Yeah, and I just wanted to thank you for this weekend sponsorship event. It was really great. It was really fantastic. Like the other young lady said, met a lot of fantastic people. The sponsors were very giving of their time, their resources, and knowledge. And I enjoyed it. It was worth the investment of time.
Excellent. Good. Glad you went.
Yes.
So what's your favorite dessert?
My favorite dessert is sweet potato pie.
Really? We don't have that much up here, up in the north. But I do like
that. It's definitely good. It's made with it. I'm sorry, say again?
I think there's a small delay on this line, and it's kind of like it's making the conversation kind of weird. There's probably like a half a second delay, I think. So what's going on in your real estate world? Any questions?
No, I'm good. I'm trying to process all the information I got this weekend and getting back to work next week to close some deals.
Are you taking this week off?
No, I'm just sending all my thank you letters and getting all my mail out and waiting. Making new contacts that I made and doing follow-up with the people I met this weekend.
Excellent. Good plan. Good plan. Follow-up is key. All right, good. Well, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. Are you having it at home or are you traveling?
I am traveling to my mom's.
Oh, how nice is that? Sounds good.
Oh, yeah.
Hope you have a great time.
You as well. Enjoy. Take care. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, who's next?
Up next, we have Mark. Mark, please state your question.
Hey, Dave, it's Mark Dupuis from Ottawa, Ontario. How are you doing?
Mark, what's going on up there?
Not much, just trying to hunker down for the winter. Snow's starting to hit us now, so it's getting cold up here.
Oh, wow. I love
snow. Actually, was a little scared driving through. We were at the sponsorship event this weekend as well, and we were calling for a bit of a storm on Sunday night when we drove home, so I thought I was going to get a bit of a rough ride home, but it turned out to be okay. Driving through the mountains of Vermont was actually kind of nice. So my question for you, Dave, my question for you is regarding the Wilson Conference. That's coming up December 5th, 6th. Yeah. We're not really great at raising money, and I spoke to Nitsan a bit about it on the weekend, and he's like, you know, the Wilson Conference thing is something that's going to take, like everything else, right? You got to nurture those relationships, and, you know, it's not something that you just show up and say, okay, here I am, let's raise some money, right? So you're trying to get your take on whether I should go or if I should. I'm since last week, I've had a couple of people reach out to me and sort of say, hey, you have a problem raising money. That's great. We can probably help you with that. So I'm kind of putting those things in place. So I'm wondering if it's makes more sense for me to just have them go or let them do kind of what they're doing, or is it still worthwhile for us to go or for me to go?
So I went to Harvard Business School, and the nice thing about living in Boston is they have the Alumni Association has a lot of different lectures, so the education continues. And about a year and a half ago, there was a lecture called Why Businesses Fail. So I've got like an inner circle team here. There's about eight of us. So I brought all eight into that lecture and wanted them to know. And it turned out that the number one reason that businesses fail is that the owner cannot raise money, has the inability to raise money. So your question as to whether or not you should send other people instead of yourself, you really need to go and learn that skill yourself, and you know, just sludge through it. I did. I mean, I'm an introvert, and I hate doing it. I still today hate doing it. I mean, I'll go to that Wilson conference, and I've got a strategy. I actually pay Richard Wilson $15,000 to speak for 15 minutes, and that's so I don't have to go around and try to network for 2 days. What I'll do is you'll see me. I'll be up there, and I'll talk about emerging markets, what's going on in the emerging markets right now. In the economy, but at the very end, you'll notice that I'm going to offer a free book, so I offer the free book to anybody that wants it, and that's for the attendees. So they come to me. All the people that are interested come to me. So I compensate for my weaknesses. Before I did that, I would be in the hallway and I would tell people, you know, hey, during this break, my goal is to meet two people. Would you be willing to be one of them? And that worked really, really well in meeting people. It's called hacking. So you figure out ways to hack the system so that your strength, your weakness, you know, you can at least overcome it. That's a weakness that you really need to overcome, is raising money.
I agree. You're
gonna need it. Yeah. And you're the one that should be really talking with your investors as well so they can go on to other deals with you. So your question is, should you go or not? And this is for anybody that's on this call, because this is a mastery mentorship student-only call. And we're doing a field trip to the Richard Wilson event. It's down in it's a family office event where there's very wealthy people there. They bring together the wealthy families and the people with investments, and they educate the families and the people with investments. They try to put them together because, you know, it's not just real estate, but oil and gas guys. There's a whole bunch of people there. So these people have a lot of money. They're looking to stroke a check for $4 to $5 million, which is a $16 to $20 million deal. So if you're not at that level, that's fine. What you'll do is you'll go down there and you'll understand and learn, because I'm going to have a call next week on how to approach these people and what to say to them and how to talk their language. You'll just get the one thing that most people that are just starting out get from this conference is how much money is out there available for real estate deals, and the fact that money really isn't an obstacle. Now is to go out there and build your acquisitions team so you can get those deals, you know, deal flow going in. So it's a really good experience. It's something that if you're just starting out, you're probably about a year, year and a half ahead of, you know, of your time on being there. But, I mean, when else am I going to do it again? I don't know. I've done it 2 years in a row. This will be the third. Will I do it a fourth? I don't know. I get, you know, now that I'm having kids, I try to travel less and less. This is actually going to be my first trip, overnight trip since I had my kids. So it's an opportunity, is what it is. So if you want to go. If you don't go, that's basically what we're going to be doing. What should be missing? We'll meet there the night before. And then we'll have a meeting as well. But next week I'm going to tell everybody how to prepare for that, what to bring, what to wear, what to hand out, what to say, and what to expect.
Okay.
Oh,
I think I'll see you there then.
For anybody that's interested in going to that, call Jeannie at the office, 781-878-7114. Anybody that's listening that you've now first you heard about it and now you decide you want to go, give her a call. She'll put you on your list. You have to go through us. It's a $995 if you go through Wilson. It's $795. He gave us a $200 discount. All the money goes to Wilson, but I need to know that you're on our list so I can contact you and do the training with you. So if anybody's interested, call Jeannie. She'll get you on the list. What else you got? What's your favorite dessert I'll say Labatt.
For Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
My favorite dessert is upside-down pineapple cake. But for Thanksgiving, I like pumpkin pie.
Yeah. You know, we will have pumpkin pie. We will have chocolate pecan pie. We will have a chocolate cream pie. And we will have whoopie pies. That's a New England thing. And we will have...
I never heard of that.
We'll have... next time you're in Boston, ask for a whoopie pie. They only come from New England. And then we're going to have peanut butter fudge. It's an old family tradition. And there's only going to be four of us.
Well, what time should I be there?
Everybody's coming over for dessert. What?
I said, what time should I come over?
4 o'clock. Come on down. Come on down.
We've already had things.
So light.
I live in Canada. I live in Canada, so we've already had Thanksgiving. So for us, it's not a holiday.
So you know what? So you know what day Thanksgiving is? You know what they call Thanksgiving in Canada?
Thanksgiving?
Thursday.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, for us, it's just a regular day. But, I mean,
yeah.
The fact that we deal with so many people that on the U.S. side of the border, obviously it's going to be a bit of a different day because most of the people that we trying to do business with aren't going to be available to do business.
Yeah, probably for the weekend.
I actually have one more question for you, Dave.
Okay,
I'm still trying to do our first deal. The last one that we had slipped through our fingers because of financing. And so now we realize, okay, we've got to get stuff that's minimum, you know, that minimum $1 million loan balance. And the broker approached us last week and said, hey, I've got a deal for you. Do you think you can handle this? But it's a really, 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 really big deal. And I've talked to a few people at UP9 about it. Some of the sponsors were like, well, that's really just too big for me to handle. A couple of them were just like, oh, yeah, let's do it. So I'm just trying to get your thoughts on, like, it's a huge package. Huge package, like 38 complexes across the U.S., almost 9,000 units.
9,000 units? That's too big.
Yeah. Too big?
Too big. Yeah. Just analyzing 9,000 units just takes, like, so long. And, you know, there's some big company that's going to come in and get the deal right up from us and done all that work. I've had that happen to me twice. We were almost... we were into a $140 million deal, 27 properties. This was probably year six or seven. And, man, we spent so much time analyzing those deals. And we were told that we were going to win the contract. We were in at $102 million. And then some freaking Asian group came in last minute, did 127. There was no way that we could have gone up that high, something like that. So. Another time too, when I thought this is crazy, you know, doing these deals. We'll get deals from students like this, and they'll say, "Hey, you know, I can do 1,000 units, blah blah blah." And it'll be if it's a first deal, it's like, no, no deal. If you've got a portfolio, you know how to play the game. Then it's like, okay, well, you know, do the numbers, analyze the deal, and let me know what you think. So I think it's a little premature to deal like that.
Yeah, my initial thought was just on the logistics of it all. I mean, not so much from analyzing, but it's like, okay, now, you know, do due diligence on 38 complexes. I want to see everything. You're like, just trying to kind of work through that 30, 60 days worth of, you know, due diligence and close on something to do that 38 times, you know, every 60 days or every 45 days or whatever, it would just take forever to close it. So that's why I was like, there's got to be a way to do this, but I'm thinking, I mean, obviously, I've never done that, so I need some help on a few different places with it. So, yeah, I just kind of wanted to get your take on it.
Wait until you get more experience.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate your insights, as always, and I hope you have a good Thanksgiving, and I'll talk to you, I'll see you at Wilson Conference in December anyways.
Okay, see you there.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Take care. Make sure you introduce yourself to me, Mark, because I don't know what you look like.
We met at the business building last year. We went to Harvard Club.
All right, so that's narrowed you down to one of like 30 or 40.
Okay, I will introduce myself to you again.
I'll probably recognize you, but I won't put the name and the face together until you do.
Okay, right, sounds good.
All right, see you there.
Thanks.
All right, take
care. Dave. Bye.
Okay, we got a little bit of time left here. Probably enough time for two calls, if we do have two callers on there. Who would be next?
Up next, we have Fred. Fred, please state your question.
Good afternoon, Dave. Fred Teal calling from San Jose, California. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Hello? Good. So anyway, I just completed my immersion training in the San Francisco Bay Area by a brother, Jeff, fantastic guy. So we learned a lot from that training. So my question is this, Dave, that I have a real estate license, which is I have not hanged any broker right now. So should I hang that license, or should I just let it be? Because I understand that if you have a license, you have to kind of disclose that. And also want to know what the pros and cons of doing that.
Did you have a license in order to do this business?
No. I have a registered California registered license. And I understand that if you have a license, you have to, when you make an offer, so you have to disclose that, correct? If you have a license, a registered license.
Yep, most states, yes.
Yeah, so my question is that.
Yeah, the way it's worded is when you get into serious negotiations, you're supposed to disclose it, so. It's up to you. It's usually at purchase and sale that I'll disclose mine, that I have a broker's license.
Okay. All right. Okay. So so there's actually no pros and cons of doing that. I mean, the fact that you know, you have a license, all we're saying is that, you know, we basically are much professional, and you have to disclose that. That's all right.
Yeah,
but what happened? I mean, I do have a license, and I have not hang it with any broker. So should I hang it?
What?
Lou, I think we're breaking up here.
No, there's a delay in this line. It's very aggravating. There's like a half a second to a full second delay.
Okay.
You talking when I talk.
Okay.
So what's your question?
My question is, I have to disclose then. Whenever I make an offer on a certain property or so, I have to disclose that I have a registered license.
I would do it at the time of purchase and sale agreement. I wouldn't do it at the time of offer. California is a little bit different. Maybe they require you to do that offer. Now that I think of it, that might be the case. Talk to an attorney, but it's no big deal. I've never lost a deal because of it.
Okay, wonderful. Another question, a quick one, is that, you know, should I concentrate on in my area first, since I've just started this recently, or should I just, you know, or it does not matter? I mean, focus on any deals that you come across.
Just start in your own backyard, and you should get experience talking with brokers and management companies and meeting them face-to-face and going to properties and analyzing deals and walking properties, you know, taking a look at them, what's right, what's wrong.
Yeah.
There's a lot of experience that you can get in your backyard that you can transfer over the telephone when you're talking to somebody else in an emerging market. So I would get like a month or so experience in your own backyard,
right,
and then start right away. Going after emerging markets too, doing both.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And I'm thankful for my health. I think that's the most important thing. I'm thankful for the family and friends, and also very thankful to be a family member of Arimenta. It's been a good experience. I've gone through with some other real estate companies before, you know, with any other training that I've gone through, and I think that you guys are much, much more structured, and really, really appreciate that.
Oh, excellent. Good. Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Lou. Yeah. And lastly, my favorite dessert, apple pie with ice cream. That's what I enjoy the most.
Oh, man. My mother makes an awesome apple pie. We'll have that, too.
Great. When I'm in the area next time, I'm your area next time, we, you know, you got to have your mom make that.
You'll have to give a little bit of a notice, and there'll be a big
okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. And you have a fantastic Thanksgiving with your twins. So have a good one.
Definitely will. Thank you. All right. Who's next? Last call. Last call before I go out and get myself some turkey. I'm going to catch that turkey running around this office. I'm going to eat him.
Next on the line, we have Bill. Bill, please go ahead.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing today?
Bill. Hey, Bill, did you ever listen to the, a group called The Animals?
Do I have a what?
You ever listen to a group called The Animals? They're from the
60s. Oh, yes.
70s? So
yes.
Do you remember the only album that The Animals put out without Eric Burdon?
Oh, good
and
Lord.
There was a song on there called Brother Bill.
Brother Bill. Well, that's me.
Yeah, it goes something like this. It goes, some people say it was cocaine. Some people say it was gin. But I know the names of the bothersome dudes that did my brother in. They put that last clean shirt on my brother Bill. The song's called Last Clean Shirt.
Okay.
We used to do it on stage when I was in my band.
Well, that's true. I need to see get a CD of yours then, right? From your band
days.
Back
then it was cassette tapes. Yeah.
I was gonna say, at least it wasn't 8-tracks.
Yeah, I remember I used to have 8-tracks, and I got the 8-track of Styx, Grand Illusion, and
uh-huh.
The title song. It was in between tracks. You know how you'd have the song would all of a sudden end, and track one would end, and then you'd start up again in track two.
Yep.
Yeah, that used to make me crazy.
Yeah, I saw Styx as an opening band for Kiss.
Oh, you did? That was
so,
great.
Yeah, so I'm aging myself, but that's okay. My question, as a new student, what would be the best when analyzing properties just to get a lot better at it? What is the, I mean, like, is there go to a 100 door, go to a 20 door, go to a, what would be a good bogey to be looking at?
On how to get good at analyzing?
Well, when you're analyzing, if a broker brings you a deal, or if you find a deal that you think might be a deal, bouncing off the other guy's question, you know, saying that deal was too big. What would be a good deal size for new students to be looking at?
Okay, so you're talking about buying and not practicing analyzing, yes? Because I just want to make sure I get the question straight.
Correct, yes.
Well, you're going to buy where you're comfortable buying. The biggest thing is, take a mental check, and if you're comfortable starting with smaller units, start smaller and then get bigger, and if you're comfortable starting with bigger units, then go right to the big ones. But we've learned from 12 years, actually 14 years now of educating, that you've got to start where you're comfortable. And as long as you start where you're comfortable, you'll start doing deals, and then you'll move forward. It's when we try to push you to go too big too fast, then it doesn't work, because subconsciously there's a lot of fear involved, and you sabotage yourself, and it doesn't happen. So We're all about, you know, wherever, do a mental check, and wherever you feel comfortable doing deals, that's where you get started, and then from there, progress. Because you will progress rapidly. The most important thing is just to do a deal. After you've done that deal, you know, you've had most of your systems will be in place, your contacts will be in place, your team will be built, and you'll have all this confidence. You'll have the confidence in the world, and that's where we see fast acceleration after that first deal. So it doesn't matter.
We have been doing single family flips for a while now, and that was one of our first things. I mean, I as the it's my sons and my two sons and myself that are in the business, and I as myself would be not, I hate to use the word sabotaging, but sabotaging the deal for fear. So once we got the first, second, third, fourth deal, that was gone. But I just didn't know if there was a door value, which was easier for new students to do.
No, it's all for you. Actually, the smaller deals are harder, but people feel more comfortable doing the smaller deals. The larger deals are bigger, but you've got to have the mindset of doing a bigger deal first. So it's kind of like
right.
22.
Yep. Okay, very good. Thank
all
you.
Right. Well, what's your favorite dessert? What's your favorite Thanksgiving dessert?
My favorite dessert is apple pie, and the things that I'm grateful for is actually my business partners and sons.
Oh, awesome. Excellent. Well, you have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Dave. Thank you very much.
Yep. All right. So everybody here at RE Mentor wants to thank you, our students, because without you, you know, we run a business over here, and the best part of our business is when you're going out there and when you're following the system and you're out there doing deals. And, you know, it's a struggle at times. It's a struggle to get your rhythm. It's a struggle to get momentum. Sometimes it's a struggle to get your private money. Sometimes it's a struggle to get the deals coming in, the deal flow. But if you're persistent at it and you can just do a little bit every day, eventually, that's going to break open for you, and you're going to, if you went to sponsorship, you know, you could be one of those people up on stage in a few years, sponsoring deals. If you've been to any of the other events like Ultimate Partnering and you've seen all those people that are doing deals in those rooms, that's you. And for those people that are doing deals, I mean, that's the way you thank us is by taking the system and not trying to alter it, but just taking it and using it, and then giving us feedback, because the feedback helps us to coach you better, and it also helps us to coach other people as well. Because we don't think it's a perfect system, and we've been evolving the system over the last 14 years of teaching it. I've been actually doing it for the last 22 years. And we want to thank you for going out there and using it and making it happen and sharing your frustrations with us, but also sharing your victories with us as well. So on this Thanksgiving Day, we here at RE Mentor, we thank you. And we hope you have a great time with your family. Your family, your friends, whatever you're going to do in that day. And we will see you all next week. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Bye-bye.